Deuteronomy, the 13th chapter, God's word. If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder that he tells you comes to pass, and if he says, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and hold fast to him. But that prophet or dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has taught rebellion against the Lord your God, who has brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of slavery, to make you leave the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall purge the evil from your midst. If your brother, the son of your mother, or the son of your daughter, or the wife you embrace, or your friend, who is at your as your own soul, entices you secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which neither you nor your fathers have known, some of the gods of the peoples who are around you, whether near you or far off from you, for from the one end of the earth to the other, you shall not yield to him or listen to him, nor shall your eye pity him, nor shall you spare him, nor shall you conceal him, but you shall kill him. Your hand shall be the first against him to put him to death, and afterward the hand of all the people. You shall stone him to death with stones, because he sought to draw you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And all Israel shall hear and fear and never again do any such wickedness as this among you. If you hear in one of your cities, which the Lord your God is giving you to dwell there, that certain worthless fellows have gone out among you and have drawn away the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which you have not known, then you shall inquire and make search and ask diligently, and behold, if it be true and certain that such an abomination has been done among you, you shall surely put the inhabitants of that city to the sword, devoting it to destruction, all who are in it, with its cattle and with the edge of the sword. You shall gather all its spoil in the midst of its open square and burn the city and all its spoil with fire as a whole burnt offering to the Lord your God. It shall be a heap forever. It shall not be built again. None of the devoted things shall stick to your hand, that the Lord may turn away from the fierceness of his anger and show you mercy and compassion on you and multiply you as he swore to your fathers. If you obey the voice of the Lord your God, keeping all his commandments that I am commanding you today, and doing what is right in the sight of the Lord your God. This is God's holy and infallible word. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, we come to the 13th chapter of Deuteronomy in our study of this treaty document. And we find that Moses in this chapter is still dealing with the subject of purity in worship. Purity not only in worship, but also in living. If you remember the 12th chapter of Deuteronomy, his emphasis there was upon idolatry. Here in the 13th chapter, the emphasis is upon the idolater. In other words, the person who commits idolatry. The previous chapter dealt with the places that might be a temptation for Israel, in which they might be tempted to serve other gods. But now he zeroes in and he deals with the people who might tempt Israel to serve other gods. And in this chapter, take note that he's not talking about the Canaanites or the enemies of Israel. He's talking about the people within Israel that they respect, within their own families, people that have influence upon them, but not the people that live in the land of Canaan. He's not saying that they are to be destroyed. They are able to live with their old faith, practice their old faith. The pagans were able to live side by side at this point with Israel. But the penalty here of death is reserved for those who are within the bonds of the covenant people who attempt to subvert the faith. They might promote syncretism. And remember, syncretism is just that big technical name for trying to blend the religion of the Lord, the true God, with the religion of the other people. And the greatest example of syncretism in terms of religious blending in the Old Testament, I'm sure you'll remember, is Ahab and Elijah, the work of Ahab and his wife Jezebel. She married into the Israelite kingdom, and with her, she brought her religion from the northern part of the Palestinian area, and she brought in, and that influence of Baal worship became the dominant religion of Israel, and they tried to blend it with the religion of Israel. They didn't say stop worshiping the Lord. They said you can do that and you can worship with Baal and you can worship God together. And that's exactly what Moses is speaking against here. Sadly, the history of Israel reflects, not only in the time of Ahab and Elijah, but the time throughout the kingdom of Israel up until they were sent into the bondage of Babylon, that there was a desire to have this blended kind of worship, of false worship and the false practices. It would be like today when someone goes to another church and they come back and they say, oh, we were at so-and-so's church on vacation or some family adventure and they had this wonderful thing that they did. Why can't we do that too? And there may not be anything wrong with some of those practices. Again, if those practices are biblically mandated. But that problem exists when you go to something that really trips your switch, you really like it, and the problem is that it doesn't have any basis in the Word of God, but you just thought it was pretty neat and fun, and it really spoke to you, and it doesn't have a biblical basis, and now you're tempted by it to want to include it in the way in which you worship. It hasn't changed much since Ahab and Elijah and the time of Moses when he warns Israel against this particular problem. He's warning them about people who might tempt them to worship God in a way that is not authorized by God's word. And then we'll not only see that more clearly as we look at a few of these verses, we'll see that he calls them to faithful obedience only to the word of God. What Moses is describing here is subversive activity, activity on the part of others, sometimes, as he mentions here, even close relatives, to worship in a manner that is not pleasing to the Lord. And he calls it out and out treason, giving it the death penalty. We might be struck by that, but the fact is that that's what treason deserves. At least it still does so in the day in which we live. Acts of treason against our country have been historically punished by death. And what this is in chapter 13 is called treason. It's not just someone practicing another kind of religion, but it's a high-handed act of treason against the covenant of God with his people. And that's what comes into the picture and the danger that Moses is describing here, especially in the first three verses, is that this comes through people who you might respect, prophets and dreamers. Prophets who are religious leaders, prophets who have a tendency to be looked up to as religious leaders are often looked up to. But the dilemma is that the false prophet brings with him the treasonous activity that's described here of leading people away from the covenant of God. We might not think too badly about people who are religious leaders in terms of today, but let me remind you of a few examples from the history of the church. Charles Finney in the 17th, late 18th century was one of the great leaders in the evangelical world of the revival movement, and people have looked up to Charles Finney as a leader in the revival movement as though he ought to be emulated. I would suggest that would not be a good idea, because from his own writings, one can document at least 100 things where he doctrinally denies what's written in Scripture. Doctrine after doctrine after doctrine, over 120 documented things where he denies what's written in Scripture. That's not someone that we should emulate or follow. That's someone that, if he lived in Moses' time, would have and should have been put to death. There are other leaders that we see as examples of people following them. We follow religious leaders, whether it's pastors or leaders like Jim Jones. Some of you'll remember back in the 70s, he had a group. They left the country. They went to the Republic of Ghana in South America. I think that's where it was. And when they were being investigated, he enticed and encouraged all of his people to drink Kool-Aid laced with poison, and nearly 1,000 people died. One might suggest that that would be a false prophet, not someone to follow. There have been the Ellen Whites, who is the founder of Christian Science, the Joseph Smiths, who founded the Mormon religion, and others who have founded religions where the world has followed and lives have been dramatically changed as a result of them, but not for the good. They have followed them into the destructiveness of these false religions. And Islam is an example, and Buddhism and Hinduism. These world religions are all religions started by leaders who were followed, and yet they contradicted the word of God. So when Moses says, if a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder comes to pass, and he says, let's follow other gods, don't go with him. What was more important was that they would listen to the word of God. So Moses' first word, when these spokesmen would arrive, would be to test their words by the word of God. We have an example of that in Scripture. You should know it well. The Apostle Paul was preaching in Berea. And even those Bereans didn't say, oh, it's the Apostle Paul. Isn't he the greatest thing since sliced bread? No. What does Scripture tell us about those faithful Bereans? They listened to Paul, but they went home, opened their Bibles, and they searched whether or not what the Apostle Paul said was right and whether it was so according to the Word of God. They didn't just take this religious leader on the grounds that he was a religious leader, but they listened through their understanding of the Word of God. We need to be Bereans. I would suggest to you that if in the 18th century the Presbyterian Church had been Bereans instead of Presbyterians, that they would have never ordained Charles Finney to the ministry, and he would have never then gone on to have the successes that he had in leading thousands upon thousands to their destruction through the false religion that he taught. The same could be said of other false leaders. So the first test is, do they agree with the written word of God? And if there's some defection from the written word of God, whatever that is, then they are not to be listened to. Don't listen to him. Those are Moses' words. And then he says, what you should do is this, verse 3, continue to listen and to obey God. Your job, my job, is not to go and listen to a minister or a pastor and go, oh, that was wonderful, and try to find someone who has inspiring messages. Our job is to submit to the written word of God, the word that's inscripturated that we have been given. Continue to walk in the commandments, listen and obey, because obedience to God takes priority over everything else. Serving the Lord is through obedience to his word. We can't serve him if we're not submitting to his word. Only submission to the word of God is acceptable. And in this passage, Moses says, a false prophet who entices you to do something that's, of course, contrary to the word of God, which is, let us go and serve other gods, that's absolutely contrary to the first commandment. He says, they're not to be followed, rather they're to be executed. And that which those false prophets bring into the people of God and among the covenant people is a treasonous knowledge that can affect us in all of our lives. That knowledge affects our attitudes. That knowledge that they would bring affects our actions, our plans, and all of that knowledge is hostile to God because it contradicts his word. And when it contradicts his word, we can't be at peace with God. We can't have the blessing of God. We come under the judgment of God. What we must do is what Moses lines out here in verse 4. Dedicate ourselves completely to be obedient to the Lord. What was Israel's standard for life and worship? It was the written word of God, the covenant revelation through Moses that God had given and inscripturated so that they might have the Ten Commandments. And now he's expositing, that's explaining and applying those commandments, because in those commandments, they summarily tell us how to live a life in total, exclusive allegiance to the Lord. And the exclusive allegiance to the Lord is exhibited in this passage by what he says in verse 4. Walk after the Lord your God, fear him, keep his commandments, obey his voice, serve him, and hold fast to him. It's steadfast obedience to the word of God. Don't tolerate that false teaching, and we shouldn't tolerate it in our churches today. Sadly, we do. We shouldn't tolerate false teaching, but the church has, in its history, been a church which has tolerated false teaching because we don't want to take a firm stand against it, and we begin to accommodate things. Well, that beginning to accommodate grows into accommodating more things, so that now major denominations, major churches are accommodating the views of people who have views that are contradictory to the word of God in so many ways, just to name a few, LGBTQ, other views that contradict scripture, the teaching of who should have and hold office in the church, whether it should be male only or female and male. All of these things are written clearly in the word of God, but the church has become lax. The church has become soft, and it wants to be the nice church that accommodates people with all of these other viewpoints instead of standing firmly for the word of God. And we don't have the time, but what does he say in verses 6 through 11? You can summarize it this way. You have to deal with seduction that comes through family members to be pulled away from the worship of the true God. Because all things boil down to this. All loyalties are subject to the supreme loyalty that we must have to God. God overrules loyalty even to family members if those family members are not faithful to God's word. And the word of God must be obeyed. The word of God must rule supreme and not even family ties. So significant throughout this book of Deuteronomy would permit this apostasy, this treason, to be overlooked because God's covenant is supreme. And what Moses tells us in this passage still applies to us today. And we need to apply that to the church. We should be the church today that stands upon the word of God and does not tolerate accommodation. And we just need to be say that to those who have other views. If your view does not agree with the word of God, it has no place in the church. And we need to stand steadfastly upon the written word of God. And we also need to do what he commands us here in verses 3 and 4. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. We've heard those words over and over. Here they appear. Here they appear in a passage that says, this is a problem. How do you deal with that problem? You deal with it by loving God with a love that's loyal to God alone. Stand faithfully. Be loyal. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Walk after the Lord your God. Fear him. Keep his commandments. Obey his voice. Serve him. Hold fast to him. Do you find the echo of those words in the New Testament? When Jesus says this, you hear the same thing. If you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus has the same word that Moses has, because he is the word of God incarnate. And if we are to love him, we are to keep his commandments. If we are to love him and follow him and hold fast to him, we are to obey his voice. And to obey his voice, we need to hear his voice as it comes to us in Scripture. And as the Lord said to his servant Joshua, when they were about to enter the land, that's going to happen shortly in terms of the history of Israel, from the point at which Moses gives these words. What was God's word to Joshua? When you enter the land, follow God's word. Don't depart to the left. Don't depart or turn to the right, but be steadfast and follow God's word. This is a word the church needs to hear today. Be steadfast. Don't turn to the left to be accommodating. Don't turn to the right to be the charming church that accommodates people because we want to attract people. The best attraction that we have for people, for the church, is this: the cross of Christ and the teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who said, I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. It's not the church that's going to make the difference. It's the cross. It's the Christ who makes the difference. And we need to follow him. So the application of this passage to our lives is that same verse, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself, as this scripture will go on to say. And as Jesus said, these are the two greatest commandments. We need to hear God's word. We need to keep God's word. We need to obey God's word. We need to follow it. May God give us strength to do so. Amen.